College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Well, welcome everybody to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this year podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Episode 400, boys. Woo! We're getting it done. Woo! We're cracking stuff. I'm going to pop some champagne here in a second. Let's beam our satellites down to Austin. Cobb, what's going on?
400, baby. I don't know how many we did in COVID that didn't count, but we've been racking up those numbers. Boys, this is a day of celebration. It's something to be proud of. This is the most consistent, long-lasting thing in my life, so that's cool, and nobody I love more than doing it with you guys, so what's up? Let's party, and let's give the people what they want, huh? Fire up the engines, baby. Just kick the tires and light the fire.
I mean, you're right. Outside of family, this is the longest, most consistent relationship I've had.
Let's go. Let's go, Ted Smith.
All right. Up there in the upper left, beaming in from the desert himself, Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, 400 episodes ago, we were three dudes that had commitment issues. And look at us now.
It's lonely at the top. Pop that champagne, Ted.
Obstacles. The champagne's out.
You know what, Ted? On that note, I'm switching from soda water. I'm going long drink. Shout out to the Finns.
All right. What's a long drink?
Long drink is the legend of 1952, Ted. It's the Finnish long drink. So it's basically it's like a citrus with gin. So it's gin and grapefruit.
All right, Matt, what do you got over there?
This is a really, really hoppy hop lark. I guess this would be a hop water or a hop tea. But it's basically, very hoppy soda water.
All right. Well, cheers, boys, to 400.
A 400.
400.
Here, here. And for those at home, cheers.
The question is, how much champagne does Ted Smith drink?
Bottle is popped.
Bottle's popped. I don't know if it's going to be any good tomorrow. Just sit here and eat a couple edibles and just start drinking champagne.
Well, legend has it, they call him the coyote because he gets stronger as the night goes on.
So episode 400, we obviously will tell some stories or things have changed. First, I wanted to talk a little bit of, first of all, 2025, intense stuff happening. I've already had some good meetings with some people. So, like, some good, a little bit bad, but, like, we're getting stuff done. Sticking to it, right? 2025. It's a year about me, us, just... What do we decide? We're just getting
It's our year, done. Baby.
It's our year.
It's our year, dude. Episode 400.
Look at this. If you know me, I will say America's long nightmare has sort of ended. And, your boy's been back out there, mingling with the ladies.
Yeah. Did you say America's long nightmare?
Yeah. Last year was a long year.
That's
America's nightmare.
That's when you started deeming your drought, bro. Got dark.
I know. I was like, don't put that evil on me.
Also, we've come into another dilemma. Cobb has seen him. Matt has seen him. Cowboy Ted has just taken over the streets.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, it is a persona. Like, I'll say this. Ted with a cowboy hat is a real persona.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I went down to Portland a couple weeks ago. I was rocking the hat, and then, then Taryn had her big 40th birthday party, so a lot of our friends were there and stuff. It was supposed to be 80s themed. I just wore a black button-up, black jacket, and a cowboy hat. And somebody goes, "You look like a Little League coach from Austin." And I was like, "I got this hat in Austin."
All right, so you're getting some inbound.
Here's the issue Cowboy Ted has run into is Friday night, we're down in Portland having a good time. like we're down in Southeast Portland. I forget the name of this, like kind of, it's kind of like a dance club on Friday nights underneath. And then up top, it's just a standard kind of bar and pool hall. So we met this couple in the bar. Me and my buddies have this thing. It's like when we travel, people are just like, yeah, we'll hang out with you guys. We'll keep following you around. We're like, all right, cool. So I go home, throw on the hat, get to like the dance club part. It's pretty cool. Feeling it out, vibing it. And I was like, I'm going to go upstairs for a minute. So now it's a pool hall. There's a big L-shaped bar. So I sit right at the corner, right? And like, your boy might have already been a little into the beverages, you know, feeling good. So this girl, like a shadow, right? Like comes up the stairs and just starts walking towards me, right? Like blonde pigtails. Like she is dressed like a cowgirl. And she walks over and I can show you, boys. So I just instinctively hit her with a ma'am. And she
the tip of the hat.
Right. And then she starts talking to me. She is all fired up. I did not realize there was a massive country show in town that day. So she's like, oh, there's my boyfriend. We haven't seen any other cowboys. And I just keep going, mm-hmm, all right. And then he comes over and he's like, oh, I'm from Utah. I do this and that. Like, where are you from? And I'm like, Seattle, man.
Now, this might blow your mind, but College Park, Maryland.
Right, so the issue I've run into, and then on Saturday night before we went out, our buddy gave me literally a burnt orange button-up. I sent the picture to Cobb and his wife, and they were like,
"Looked good.
Just move. Yeah, just move already."
Yeah.
I mean, Matt.
You're an awesome guy, dude.
Yeah, I look like a cowboy. But then the whole night, like, we're at other places, and they're playing rap music, and I'm dancing, and they're like, huh, kind of strange for a cowboy. And, like, I have to, like, at a certain point, I just kept going, like, look, I'm just kind of cosplaying a cowboy. I'm not a real cowboy.
Oh, dude, I feel like it's working for you, you know?
It's unbelievable. And just, like, the only thing I like about it, too, is it almost offers you, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, cover when you got that hat on.
When it gives like it ups your charisma for sure, because it takes some confidence to wear it. The thing I'm worried about is these stolen valor guys who are G checking you. Like, oh, what do you wrangle? Like, buddy, I bought the hat. Like, relax.
I mean, to their credit, even that first couple, like, we're from Utah. The guy was really nice. He was like, that's a great hat, man. You know, I'm like, well, she's a Cody Johnson. You know.
I'm just surprised you're getting G checked, dude. That feels you know.
Cobb, it's like you always say, right? Like, I know just enough about my hat in Austin and Texas and country music, just enough to be dangerous. And like with the tip, ma'am, people are like, is this guy a cowboy? I don't know. I got to buy a pair of boots.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I love that. And that's a whole journey to go down because there's a lot of options. I personally have had my eye on some white snakeskin boots. The thing is, I don't have the confidence yet to wear them. But like when I hit that level in my life, when you're just rolling in white snakeskin boots, like that's a man, sorry Matt, you're gonna have to believe me, who can't be f***ed with.
Correct. Well, I've noticed black hat guys, a completely different individual.
Oh yeah, black hat is like the outlaw. That's the intense one. Like white is kind of the norm, black hat is like you're really going against the grain. And I don't know, I feel like the other thing about we'll leave that off.
So you guys know me, you know my friends, we're a peace loving bunch of people, but we almost got into two scuffles in Portland. So one
was it the hat?
the hat, it was more of, so here's the deal, we get up on Saturday, right? And we're like, we're gonna watch football. I picked the first sports bar we went to. Now keep in mind, it's 12:15. The first game of that day is going to be Houston and Kansas City. So the first place we go to, my one buddy's like, it's not a lot of action in here. And I'm like, well, dude, it's 12:30. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're just eating wings. We got time. And he's like, I really want to go to this other one. So we hop in the Uber. We're going to the other one. And one of my other friends, he's like, you're just going to shit on the next place because now you're annoyed that we had to leave. And I go, yeah, a little bit. So we decide, within one game, we're going to do four bars in four quarters.
Jesus.
Right? Kind of a fun little adventure.
Wait, and the cowboy hat is on at this point? The
cowboy hat's not on at this point. It's okay, just regular.
I was gonna say, save some pussy for the rest of us. God.
Well, dude, all I do now is wear the cowboy hat or the goddamn Dead and Company hat, which is a fucking conversation starter if I've ever seen it. Like, people are just like, oh, I like your Jerry Bears. I'm like, oh, all right. So the fourth bar we end up at, we get there and it's pretty empty. Now, when as I tell you this, it'll make more sense. But we notice, like, there's some tables reserved. And I look at the bartender. She's wearing a Lions shirt. And I go, huh, you must be from Detroit. She goes, no, just, you know, Lions fans come in here. And I'm like, all right. Now, we've been to four bars in this game, right? So the next game up is Lions Commanders, right? And, you know, I'm a Seahawks fan through and through. But I still got some love for my ex. She's got a new man, Dan Quinn. He used to be our guy. Like, I'm going to cheer for him. Well, 10 minutes before kickoff, there's 70 to 100 Lions fans in this bar. And we have sat at the front. There's TVs all over. There's one giant TV. We are at the front table in front of it. And my back is basically to all these Lions fans. So then another couple we had picked up along the way, who actually, this dude was a cowboy from Eugene. They were like, you guys are awesome. We just followed you. We're like, cool. So then he's like, Ted, you're from DC originally? I go, yeah. And he's like, fuck it. I'm in. I'm cheering for the Commanders.
No.
I'm like, all right.
Dude, so you had like somebody riding shotgun.
Correct. And I don't know if you remember that game, but the Commanders just come out on fire. And God, you've watched sports with me, right? When I'm getting real excited, like they're picking off balls. I'm whoop, whoop, like screaming, like, that's another six. I'm singing the old fight song. I think around halftime when I yelled over my shoulder, you know what? The Model T sucked too.
Wow. Dude, and you got you're in their bar with 70 Detroit, which is not the softest city, fans behind you. God.
Correct.
The balls on that not, cowboy.
And the way the table's set up is like we're kind of in front. They're all behind me to like over my shoulder. So I have not really turned around. Now, the other guy, I think his name was Mike or something. He could see him. He's cheering at him. But every time the Lions do something, I could feel, I'm like, are they getting closer? Then my buddy's like, hey, man, they're not just cheering. Like, they're cheering at you. And he's like, every time the Lions do something, like, they inch closer and closer, like, clapping towards your back. And I'm like, all right. You know, like, there's no reason to get in a fight over this. So at halftime, you know, after I've made fun of the Model T and told them nothing good come out of Detroit since Motown. Again, comments that didn't have to be made.
Electro, like, but yeah.
Yeah. I talked to a couple people, you know, I'm like, hey, can I get a photo with you? And they're like, why? And I'm like, God, nobody will believe I'm with all these Lions fans.
But Jesus.
Dude, it was unreal. As I said to my buddy, I go, am I lying to say there's 40 to 50? He goes, no, there was like 80 to 100 of them. And I go, do you think we were in real trouble? And he goes, there's a reason we left before that game ended. He goes, I don't know if they were going to like fight, but he's like, there was going to be a tussle.
Dude, you know, Cowboy Ted invites controversy, hat or no.
Right. So then we go home, change up. I mean, just a weird, wild adventure, right? My one buddy plays Australian rules football. So we're like in the backyard. He's showing me how to like, punt, you know, like throw it down so it bounces back and kick it and punch it. So like now I'm in a burnt orange button up and my cowboy hat playing with the Australian rules football. I'm like, this can't get any weirder tonight. Wrong. We hit the bars. I get there's another concert in town and people are just looking to like, this is at the point where I'm like, I'm just cosplaying a cowboy, folks. Like not a real cowboy.
Oh, that's awesome. So you were getting some inbound.
Oh dude, it was unreal. Like to the point of, I was like, man, you guys might, cause we kept kind of popping around. I got in our neighborhood. There was a bunch of places to go. I was like, you guys might just have to leave me here. Definitely. There's a couple single guys on the crew, so we definitely recruited one girl. She started hanging out with us, and then a few guys went home, and a couple of the single guys, I was like, let's go to a strip club.
Yes. Right?
So we show up. Also, people were like, what'd you do in Portland? I said, I did exactly what you think I did, all right? I ate chicken wings, I watched football, and I threw dollar bills at naked women.
At vegan women.
Like, did exactly what you think I was doing.
I live the dreams because you can't. Okay.
Right. Like let's get real. What the f- do you think I was doing in Portland? Checking out the Rose Garden or I don't know. Looking at the scenery.
Awesome.
So my buddy is like, he's like, hey man, this girl I'm like knew from like 20 years ago was randomly in town. And he was like, he just hit her up, was like, actually I'm in town. And she's like, oh, like we'll come meet up with you. And he's like, well, I'm at a strip club. And her quote was, what was it? We'll pull up. So I'm like, all right. And then she hits him back. Don't worry, but I'm bringing a drunk Mexican with me, who I assume is her husband. So like we kind of laugh it off. Don't give it a second thought. They show up. Now at this point, we had been on the rail, just making it rain, boys.
Like, yes. Just
having fun, talking ass. I'm even tipping the goddamn DJ. I'm like, keep playing the cuts. We were like dancing cowboys on it.
Right? So you're feeling like, no pain at this point.
No pain at all, right? Like, I mean, we couldn't be hotter, right? We had some bet that we could have won $1,000. So it went from we were going to buy the fish sticks minor league team to we kept telling people if we win this bet, we're buying $1,000 worth of fish sticks. You know, just we were just on fire, like bullshitting through the day.
Yes.
So then this couple shows up and like I meet her. She's real nice. And I shake the dude's hand and I'm like, huh, he seems a little aggressive. And then, you know, I'm not paying attention. I'm talking to one of the strippers and I turn around and he's like in my buddy's face, like, you the one texting my girl trying to F her and this and that. And we're like,
oh God,
whoa, whoa, whoa. So like my other buddy kind of circles behind him. I turn around. I don't know what happens, but now there's like a scrum. It's out in the front. The bouncer has been waiting for this moment because the dude kind of shoved his girl too. So he like grabs the guy, like throws him off into the street and then pulls out like a metal nightstick. And is like, please step back on this sidewalk. Like I'm going to hurt you. And like, again, I'm just out there like, okay. So like one of the strippers is calling the cops and I just like, is everybody, are we tabbed out? Everybody's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm calling an Uber. Time to rally, boys.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to stay in the pocket and the girl stayed with you guys.
Oh no. I mean,
you can't come back into that club. It's the only place you're safe.
Right. Well, at this point too, it's like the other guys are back in the house, like grilling hot dogs. It's like, let's go back to the house and chill out. One guy was already asleep. But you ever run into that? It's like, we were just in a good mood having fun, but I feel like we were teetering the whole day. I was like, cause I was like, you really think those Lions people were pissed? And they're like, they were not too pleased with you. I go, well, I definitely know the one dude was pissed at the strip club, but like, I don't know. I mean, Matt, usually I feel like it's just you and your girl, but like, you ever run into that with a group of dudes where you're just like, I mean, there was, again, this couple just followed us to a bar. We're like, what are you guys doing here? Like, we just want to hang out with you guys.
I love how blatant they were. Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the school in Baltimore. I think it was Towson. I went with my buddy Nate, a black dude, and as a very white party and we're all just having a good time and I'm the one white guy in the crew. It was so cool. It was like out of a movie. And then one of Nate's friends, someone said something to him and there was like they started beating up on one another and it turned into like this whole thing. And then I had no idea how it happened. Like I was just, it was the day of the NFL draft. The Hawks had just drafted Aaron Curry. I was all excited. And like, we're just having a good time. And then like fight breaks out and Nate's like, you're with us. And luckily none of the white people knew that. So I just kind of blended in and didn't have to throw any hands or anything. And then we just like ran out and caught a cab somewhere. And yeah, I don't even went to some other bar on, you know, a few blocks away or something. I don't even remember. I got pretty drunk at the next place. I just remember like it was a good day and I was the one white dude in the crew of black dudes and you know they're busting my balls about it the whole time, but then it came time to fight and I was like, what, dude? Like,
yeah.
But I'm blending in with the other team, so I just kinda as soon as we made a run for it, I was just ready to go and hop in the cab.
That story doesn't make you sound quite as cool as it could.
As it could.
It is cool being the only white guy in a crew. Like, that feels awesome. Wait, Ted, dude, I totally know what you mean. I mean, the thing is, the origins of it are sad. But yeah, you guys were running white hot, having a good time, giving zero fucks. And that does feel amazing. Like, you guys were a vibe. You guys enter a place, everyone takes notice. And I think, you know, the downside is, of course, like, it was a Detroit Lions bar. So, like, you were stepping on their turf, being obnoxious, right, of course. So I could see why that would ruffle some feathers. The other thing is, people in the Northwest are pretty passive aggressive. So, you know, you probably pissed them off more than they even displayed. I think people were just waiting for you to make a wrong move. The strip club, you know, you guys just had charisma. At this point, like, you guys had, like, that, like, you know, like, oh man, I can't give a good energy. You know, when you're just like enhanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you just, you know, it's an energy thing. I hate to sound like a hippie, but it's true. Like, sometimes you just are on fire and can't miss. And people can sense that. And the emotion it brings up for women, I think, is desire, fun. I want to hang out with them, be around them, like that couple. And for a lot of men, you know, if they're not on the inside, it brings up fear. I mean, were you guys about to steal that Mexican man's woman? Potentially. Were you about to sleep with some of the strippers? Also possible. Was the DJ going to invite you into the booth? It could have happened. And so the thing is, you know, when you're on a heater, you just can't be denied. And I understand those Lions fans' fear. I understand the Mexican man's fear. But it doesn't come from a good place. But you, I don't really think, did anything wrong.
No, and that was the thing, too. I mean, even the first night, right? Like, we had met this first couple at the bar by our house, which I got to look up that bar. It's like a space bar. If you're down in Southeast Portland on Hawthorne, like that main strip, go to that space bar. It is awesome. It's cool inside. It's got a huge outdoor deck area with heaters. And like, everybody was just super cool there. So like, we met a couple there the first night that followed us. Like, we went home and then they showed up at the dance club in the pool hall. She was like, we got to go hang out with him. And he's like, honey, we are not hanging out with him. And I'm like, dude, don't take this. Now, at this point, he forgets that it's me as I'm a cowboy now. And I go, hey, man, don't take this the wrong way, but you got kind of a Benny Blanco thing happening. And he's like, oh, no shit. Thanks, dude. Look, I like Benny Blanco. And then he looks at, he's like, we're not hanging out at your guy's house. And I was like, hey, nobody's hitting on your girl. And he's like, yeah. But, and I'm like, yeah, that's the problem, is that, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I've been guilty of it. Like, I think I'm just chatting to somebody, and you might be kind of like giving off flirtatious vibes.
Oh, happens to me all the time. You guys were at the Space Room Lounge, for anyone who's curious. And then also,
yes,
I think the pool bar was the Trough, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, the Space Room Lounge. That place.
Yeah, this place looks awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. It looks like a mix of like an 80s diner and like a cool otherworldly, like, Area 51 type vibe. Very, very cool. Great graffiti work, too.
Right. It opens early. People are in there getting breakfast. I mean, even that second night when we went in there, like, I just sat in the big booth because even I got a little cold outside with the heaters. And, you know, we just start BSing with the table next to us. And, like, it was, like, three girls, like, two dudes. Like, they were real cool. And then the one girl who I thought I had a shot with, a shocking blonde woman, she finally just gets up and is like, it is like almost 11. She's like, I have three kids and a husband. I'm going home. This, like, I'm not staying here talking to you guys any longer. And I was like, that's a little feather in the cap.
Fair enough. Probably could have mentioned the husband and kids 3 hours ago, but, you know, good to get the practice in.
Right. Everybody needs a little batting practice as well.
Exactly. But, I mean,
yeah, it was just one of those things. And Cobb, you're right. I mean, we were on fire. And then, like, even that Lions bar, like, somebody left their glasses. We popped in the next day, and the girl's like, yeah, hell yeah, I remember you guys. Like, I got the glasses. So we were like,
win. God damn right you do. That's the thing, dude. You guys had what the kids these days are calling it aura. You guys had aura. You know, it's like people could feel you before they could see you.
And honestly, I mean, you put me in a burnt orange button up and that hat, that's some form of drip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, especially in the Northwest where you don't see a lot of cowboy hats. Even here, it's drip. But like, a cowboy hat does kind of make you like taller and bigger and just sort of like more masculine. You know, it's kind of a hyper masculine move without being a douche, I think.
And you're right. If you're not a real cowboy and you're going to wear one, because people can't help it. Like some people, every, you know, especially like if people I know, like, all right, what's with the cowboy hat? Like people have to ask. But a lot of people are just like, hey, man, like the hat. And you're right, because you got to have some confidence to wear that thing out.
Oh, yeah. It takes some confidence. And I feel like, you know, our next move, aside from the cowboy boots, which great idea, I totally buy in, is like just a few little accessories. You know, maybe like a scorpion bolo or a little bracelet, something. But just like we got to lean into Cowboy Ted, because I think, well, Matt, you're going to have to believe me, but Cowboy Ted f***s and it's his year.
Goddamn right he does. Cowboy Ted has condoms on him.
Yeah, all those Lions fans knew it. That Mexican man knew it. Okay. That's what I'm saying, Ted, is that was fear. Maybe it's caught you off guard because you're not used to that, but like you're back. And it just, it's your aura, dude. Your aura is back. 2024 is in the past.
Well, remember our buddy Esh has that epic picture of the Seahawks. He was living in San Francisco. The Seahawks beat the Niners in that championship game. And our buddy has this picture of him in front of a complete, all these Niners fans. And he's just putting his finger up to his mouth like, shh, like the game's over. So we had seen this picture for weeks, and then finally asked him about it. He goes, oh, no, they were pissed, and they threw me out right afterwards. Like, so that was the other thing is, like, as I'm drinking and, like, the Commanders are scoring, I'm like, I got to get over there and take one of those quiet pictures.
Yes. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that that's where your mind goes. It's like, how can I piss him off? See, that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of cowboy attitude and swagger that we need to bring into 2025. You're not like meekly shying away. You're like, let's get the shot. Let him kick me out. Let him throw me out like a movie through the saloon doors.
I mean, eventually that's where it's heading, right? Like Cowboy Ted. It's somehow I just tuck and roll like a movie, like, all right, partner, I know where I'm not wanted.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking like the saloon doors where they just use the head as a battering ram. I mean, dude, the thing is, Ted, you know, Cowboy Ted is like, it's not going to be, the result is not going to be in the middle. Cowboy Ted at some point is going to cross the wrong man. It's going to end up awfully, or he's going to get the girl. But either way, like, we're going to be at one end of the bell curve. You know, like no more half stepping,
dude. And I'm telling you, that first night on Friday, now granted, you know, she was with a guy, but when that girl comes up the stairs, it was like a joke, right? Because it's like backlit, you just see this silhouette, and I mean, she is just on me. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how to describe her shirt other than it looks like she was about to go ride a horse, right? She had like little buttons and like, I was like, she looks like a cow. I was like, you're like a real cowgirl, huh? I also got to stop talking like that when I'm wearing that, ma'am.
Hey, it's a persona, dude. It is what it is. The hat, it's got his own thing. And honestly, I'll tell you this, Ted, you did nothing wrong. That relationship's not going well. That's on him.
Oh,
I'm not saying, to be clear, I'm not saying split up a relationship. I'm just saying in that instance, you flirted. She came up and started flirting with you. You know, you were justified.
Also, Cowboy Ted drinks Modelo in bottles.
Of course he does.
And every once in a while, I use the bottle to tip up my hat.
Dude, yes. This is 2025. Like, this is the edge you've needed, dude. You're a very sweet guy. This is the edge we've been looking for.
I think we should start calling it 2020 vibe.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, episode 400. I mean, we could discuss a couple things. None of us, well, I still live here in the north part of the city, suburb Ted. Cobb lives at Austin, has gotten married. Matt's down in Palm Desert.
Yep. Ted now living north of the wall. I mean, I remember there was a period on this podcast where you didn't even go north of Wallingford for almost a decade. Not yeah, really, but
of,
long
north
time.
North of Mercer. That was kind of my, that was
oh
my
yeah, north of Mercer. Of that's wild. And then at one point, Matt was hanging out with a T-girl. I mean, we've experienced a lot here on the cast. I've probably lived 7 different places, you know? I've disappeared for months at a time from the podcast only to reemerge. Stronger, leaner.
We had an NFL player announce their abrupt retirement on the show back in the day.
Never aired it, but that may have been my favorite episode to record.
I thought we ended up putting it out.
We did. We edited it. That was the only time we like edited anything besides bleeps. And then we put it out, and then it got lost. Like, it just disappeared one day, and we started getting emails, and yeah, it was that was a fun day.
Can we mention
episodes too?
Can we mention the proposition of that day or no?
I don't know the proposition.
How do I that day there was a proposition made towards me.
Okay.
Nah, nothing ringing a bell. All right, we're gonna pass on it then. I don't feel like
ingesting something or being involved in a yeah. You can go ahead. I don't mind.
No, it's all right. I got scared. As soon as just hearing the nervous chuckle in your throat, I'm like, we'll pass. But we've experienced some wild stuff, is safe to say. I mean, like, dude, our first 100 episodes, we would just go smoke weed on the deck looking over the city and then podcast. That's madness. That's madness.
We've had a finalist from The Voice on, and now a finalist from American Idol.
That's true. Pro Bowler.
Yep. Big Walt. Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. We have
Redman.
Amazing MLS soccer player. Redman. Like Zach Iwani.
Zach Iwani was good, man. I like talking to him.
Yeah, he was good.
Sounders broadcaster. Aaron Jones.
We've also had like a lot of just like, you know, like regular, fun, interesting people, like the mayor, for instance, did a great ep.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, is that like, you know, we're all friends, but like, I literally met George, the Black Republican, because he would email in and we had him on. And then we've stayed buddies. And same with Sal, right? Like, Sal used to just listen to the podcast and stuff and start hanging out with him. So it's like, it's kind of good for me too. I've made some, you know, lifelong friends and, you know, doing this as well.
And Carson, the lawyer.
Yep.
I see that guy all the time. I mean, I know, by desert standards. Everyone, but yeah, it's all. I met my girlfriend. She used to listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that's the wildest. That's the wildest prize to come from this.
Look at us now. Yeah.
You met your girlfriend of what, 7 years?
More than that. Yeah, over 8.
There you go.
Coming up on 9. Yeah.
Gab and I, well, he's been more, but together we've been to Burning Man twice now.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, I've been to, you know, 8 meltdowns in between. Just, God.
Yeah,
I mean, it's actually crazy. It's like a time capsule.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I even forget too, as people ask about, like, especially George, right? I mean, he's fully integrated in our group. And I'm like, funny enough, he used to just email in. And they're like, no shit. I'm like, yeah, man. I go, I just like the guy. You know, it's like me and my buddy Rob, my old boxing coach, we always talk about, cause especially when you go on these trips, we're like, how do you guys know each other? Blah, blah, blah. And then Rob eventually be like, well, Ted and I used to box together. And then, like, some people are like, were you guys friends before that? And it's like, no. I go, we just spent so much time together. I remember, like, right before the fight, he was just like, hey, man, like, I don't have a ton of, like, super close buddies. Like, you want to hang out? And I was like, yeah, dude, I would totally love to hang out. It'd be nice to hang out when we're not just punching each other. You know, and, I mean, that's a long, you know, long life friend. I mean, he's been to, he had already been to Burning Man before us. He's been up to Meltdown with us, cooking. He used to be in all the Zooms and everything.
Yeah. Golly. We've also had so many great emails, you know, like the listeners. We've changed a few lives. That's pretty cool. I mean, we've had like some crazy emails, actually, come to think of it.
Oh, yeah. Who's our guy that you're the hustle, start doing jiu-jitsu?
Oh, you're talking about, yeah. I thought you were going to mention the guy who became an escalator repair technician because of this podcast, like triple his income.
Yeah, but who's our buddy that does the jiu-jitsu and teaches now?
Alfie,
yeah.
Alfred Murillo.
Yeah, I saw him, I guess, like last spring or summer at a men's room event, and I was like, no kidding. And he was like, yeah, like, he just totally changed his life.
Dude, shout out to Michelle, longtime listener. Awesome.
Yeah.
Rad.
Yep. Yeah, definitely missed the hanging out on the Christmas, but things have, for my birthday, but things have changed a little bit.
U.S. egg.
Yeah, the inventor of the U.S. egg.
The one that always gets me, I forget the name of that place we got dinner, Cobb, but Cobb and I go out after the cast to just like have dinner. Lakeside Grill, is that right? And
what part of town?
I can't even remember now. Where you used to live on
Eastlake?
Yeah,
Eastlake Bar and Grill.
Eastlake Bar and Grill. Yeah, and this.
Oh yeah,
like,
that was a great spot.
This is gonna sound weird, but are you guys Matt and Cobb? Like, I recognize your voices from the podcast.
I remember that. We were sitting out on the deck. Dude, that was cool. That felt fun. I think that's the only time I've been recognized by my voice, but that was awesome.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I was very high, but I still think about how crazy that was and how much it just like rocked my world.
Dude, it's also weird. The listeners are amongst us. Like, I kind of forget that. I kind of forget that, you know, it just feels like I come in and chat with you guys, but that this podcast goes out. I was on my way to work at Pike Place and I was going down like this weird sort of like, it's not the staff elevator, but it's kind of like removed, you know, sort of a hidden elevator. And it's just me, one other guy. And like right as we're about to, he doesn't say a word. I'm just on my phone. He's on his phone, whatever. Or actually neither of us were on our phones. Sorry. We just were standing there like waiting and doors open and he's like, "Hey, LARP on, man." And I was just like, what the
I know. I mean, look, I still do it at men's room events sometimes, right? Like people come up, you know, "Ted, you know, love the show, blah, blah, blah." And some people come up and they're like, "LARP on." And I'm like, "Hell yeah, man. What's going on, brother?"
Yeah, it's like, oh my guy. It's like they know the handshake, dude. You know, you're just like, oh, all right.
Well, one of my favorite moments is still, this was years ago at Summer Meltdown. Right. So this is before it got even bigger and they had like the cool outdoor showers. This was like the first or second year they just had the shower trucks. So Cobb and I had come up with a plan, I think the year before, whatever. There's just a certain time after all the fun on a Saturday in a river where like everybody's changing and like the main stage is like is popping, right? So people are going down there. So it's like prime time. But Cobb and I would always go and shower right at that exact moment. And like we're walking across the old grounds, Matt. And it's literally, I mean, it's again, this will sound insane if you've never been to a festival, but we're just walking back in towels and flip-flops. And some dude just like, "Cobb, like Ted, like I came to this festival because of you guys." And we're like, "No shit. All right, thanks, man." And he's like, "What are you guys doing?" It's like, "Well, we're gonna go change, put some clothes on. We were just taking a shower."
It's like, we're on drugs. Okay. Let's just we've been putting around for 400 episodes. Oh man.
We were walking through the heart of the festival like we were just like going from one room to another room in towels.
Yeah, that was funny that we were just in towels. Dude, I remember you talking to Dolphin Girl too, or not talking to Dolphin Girl.
Or not talking to her?
Yeah. Me just rolling up like, "All right, easy intro, you know, hit like introduce my man to his dream girl." And then just the only, you will never see Ted quiet, but Cat got his tongue. I was just like, "Huh, you don't say." Pretty hilarious. God, we've had some good times, boys.
I know. Well, somebody was asking me the other day, they're like, 400 episodes. Like, it's super impressive. Yeah, shout out to Ken and Donnie over at the Advocates. They were like, "That's awesome." And I was like, "Thanks, guys." And then I still laugh. People go, "What do you guys talk about?" And I'm like, "It used to be a lot of apples and donuts." I go, "Festivals." I go, "I don't know." I go, "It's just three dudes being honest with each other."
Yeah, I know. People always ask me that too. And they're like, "What do you talk about?" I'm like, "I honestly am not sure at this point, but it's just guys being dudes, you know? Classic."
Yeah, and I think I told you a few weeks ago, I ran into like a friend of a friend and, you know, he was going through like a little bit of a up and down emotional time. And I told him, man, I said, "You need the boys." He's like, "I got plenty of male friends." I was like, no. You need the boys, right? Or the lads. Like, you need a group of guys. And it's like, because I feel like women do a much better job of having small groups and like building each other up. I was like, "You need the boys. You need the lads that are just like, fuck yeah, good for you, you know? Or, all right, that's the right, like, keep going, do that, you know?" And I'm like, he's like, "Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way." And I was like, "I got had a ton of friends, but the boys, like the that inner circle, it's like you're always pumping each other up, and like you're not going to let each other get away with dumb stuff. But you know, you gotta have somebody, you know, patting you on the back sometimes and being like, no, man, don't sweat that. Like, you're good.
Yep. Don't panic. And also, when you're on fire, just pouring more gasoline on it.
Yes.
When you've got that aura. The Ted Smith cowboy aura, 2025. But yeah, seriously, when you're down, I mean, that's when you see when someone's truly a friend, you know? It's easy to be there for the good times. I mean, you know, that one philosopher is saying there's like three kinds of friends. There's like friends of like, you know, sort of like economic interest or like mutual trade. There's like friends of, you know, celebration. So just like friends you hang out with for like a good time. And then there's like, you know, true virtuous friends. And that's like and all are different types of relationships and friendships. But, you know, like when there's no economic incentive and there's not like, oh, it's just like a fun time, so I'll go, you know, topless women and champagne. Like the third kind of friend, like that's the kind of friend that, you know, is really so valuable.
Yeah.
Yes. What's the thing? The sum is greater than the parts or something like that? Like, it's like, I love you both individually, and like anytime it's just like two of us, it's always a good time, but there's something about the group element.
Pump the stock.
Yeah. Pump it, baby. Yeah, no,
I mean, just early, you know, for Cobb's wedding, early on that Friday afternoon, like there was just a quick moment where, like, I don't know if it was the mayor or something, just like, oh, the three of you are actually together talking. And like that photo, I mean, you could just see it oozing out of us. All of us are just like, and obviously Cobb was super busy, was going to be busy that whole weekend, but it's just like, holy shit. We actually got a moment where we're all standing here together, like having fun for 2 minutes, and we could take a photo. Like, it was great,
man. And who knew that that was going to be rare? You know, we used to have like limitless time, like just doing it every, I think for a while we were doing Mondays, we were doing Wednesdays, but like, yeah, just like when we would all meet up at the studio, it was like, you know, we would go early, we would hang out for a while, have plenty of time after. Just like, that's wild that now we mostly see each other through, you know, through the internet. Crazy.
It is. Well, I mean, obviously you guys moving to other cities is a bigger change, but also like, I mean, it just, you hear about it and then you get, you know, get in your 30s, get in your 40s, they're like, oh yeah, this is actually how it happens. Like, people have lives and stuff, and just like, you know, like we always say, it's good we have this once a week to stay in touch, but I mean, you know, life moves.
Yeah. And at this point, to be honest with you,
pandemic for making it like a seamless transition to us doing it over Zoom.
And shout out to Bill Gates for inventing the internet.
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam for giving up that one rib so we could have ladies.
Shout out to Adam, y'all. Give it up for Adam. Dude, actually, this is so unrelated and stupid, but at the end, so the street I live on is only two blocks long, and at the other end of the street is this big building with like these letters in it. It's GDSM, I think. And it's a marketing agency, and their claim to fame, like the big thing that has been paying the bills for the last 20 years, is they invented the I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. Chili's, baby back ribs, barbecue sauce.
I was waiting to see it. Barbecue sauce. I've watched a video of those dudes recording it 1,000 times.
Yeah, dude, that literally, that's the thing at the end of the, like, I don't know if they've done anything significant since then, but that's like been keeping them running. It's a massive agency too, so they probably have done other stuff. When I learned that, I was just like, oh, all right. Like, who would have thought? Yeah, it's like, I live on the street of like Whole Foods headquarters and them. That's it.
I still love years ago, right? Like, there was all these like different kinds of cans. There was a Vortex bottle from Miller Lite and this and that. And then Bud Light simply just put out, instead of a 24-ounce can, a 25-ounce can. I remember Cobb and I talking about it. Like, somebody got paid mid-six figures to be like, I got it. We're going to add an ounce.
Oh, dude, that's one of my dream jobs. Being like the guy to come up with like the what were they calling that? The double down, you know, the double chicken sandwich, or like the hype items. I actually emailed the head of product development at Subway to tell him that they should be crumpling up chips and putting them on the sandwiches. I'm like, dude, you guys need a hype item. You've already got chips in your store. Like, you'd get a lot of press. Because, like, those little items, dude, they make hundreds of millions of dollars when they come out. Like, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, the Double Down was huge. That was like $280 million that they brought in from that. There's like, there's a bunch. Like, it's kind of part of the fast food playbook now, but it is crazy when they get an item that hits. Like, what was that sauce that was really big for a second? It got big from like Rick and Morty. It's like
Szechuan sauce.
Oh yeah. 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 That's
like, they exactly. Brought it back because Rick and Morty kept talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Szechuan dipping sauce. And so, yeah, I think it'd be fun as hell to be inventing those products for a living.
Dude, I know a guy, him and his wife bought a gas station. This was years ago, right? And he was telling me one day, he goes, look, man, you can come in your giant truck and fill it up. He goes, but if you buy a candy bar, I make more off the candy bar. And then I do the gas. Now you fast forward 15 years, they run like a sub shop and I don't even know if the gas pumps work anymore.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the craziest one of those businesses, just to geek out for a second, is there's a chain that they're the fastest growing pizza chain in the country, and they just put a little pizza store that you run in your gas station. It's called Hunt Brothers Pizza, and they've expanded like absolute crazy. And it's basically like kind of similar to how 7-Eleven has pizza.
All right.
But it's like for independent gas stations and stuff. America's number one made to order by the slice pizza for convenience stores. All toppings, no extra charge.
And what's it called?
Hunt Brothers Pizza. And they've got to have like thousands of locations at this point. Like, it's crazy. Let me look. How? And it's essentially like a kiosk. They have 993 stores.
That's crazy.
And like, they started like very recently.
Oh yeah, I've seen one of these before.
Did you try it?
I did.
Okay, so it started in 91.
I mean, look, I know it's episode 400. We're telling good stories, but this is prime example. How do you guys feel about gas station food? Because, like, let me preface this. Yeah, like when I grew up on the East, like there was always Wawa's, right? But like going up to like Pennsylvania and stuff, I love Sheetz. Like, to this day, if I'm in Pennsylvania and I can stop at a Sheetz, which is originally a gas station, get, you know, MTO, made to order, like, I'm getting sandwiches.
Ooh. Royal Farms.
Right? Rofo with the chicken.
Yeah.
It's a Baltimore thing.
Dude, well, I'll say this. So my wife's family, like, I'm basically known at, like, they're very... I don't know. They're very like well-to-do, sort of classy family. I'm like known as like the garbage human because I go down to 7-Eleven and I get like my breakfast. I get whatever. Like, they just redid the 7-Eleven in Park City. Your boy was in there like first day getting like breakfast burritos, loading up on some taquitos, slice of pizza. Like, I'm a man of the people. And that's how, okay, dude, this is going to sound so out of touch, but all right. So they do a vacation every year kind of in the mountains in Park City and go skiing. But because I was going down to the 7-Eleven, I got the news, got the inside scoop. There was like a big strike this year with the ski patrol. None of the mountain was opening. It was a huge deal. But I was down there at like 5 a.m. because I wake up early getting coffee and getting the inside intel from like the snowcat drivers, the ski school instructors, and the guys who like salt the roads and run the plows. And so, dude, I was like the direct connect to the outside world, to the common man, getting all the intel. And honestly, it was nice, man. It was nice to be in touch with my blue collar brethren. You know, I've had quite a few of those jobs working construction stuff, so it was awesome. But yes, I am known as sort of the gas station pizza guy. So I'm in to gas station food. That's my point. Yes.
Yeah, and that's something too, right? Nothing against 7-Eleven, but you know, you have 7-Eleven. you got the Big Bite, you got the nachos, you got taquitos, you got all that stuff, right? They got roller.
They got food. Some hitters. They got some hitters.
And then I remember like Sheetz, and then I mean, I think really what's blown it up. Here's the other thing: Wawa is great for a cold sub, but Sheetz is better, in my opinion. But then you look at like, what's it, Buc-ee's?
Oh, whole different animal.
It's unreal. Like, people go there just to eat because they like the food that much.
Well, and Ted, we went to a small Buc-ee's when you were here, but when you hit those industrial grade Buc-ee's, I mean, for people who don't know, it's a gas station in Texas. They're running literally, I'm not being facetious here, over 100 gas pumps. You go into this place, they got fresh brisket, they have merch. It's huge. It's like a hybrid.
Let's get on the board.
It's like, honestly, they're about the size of a small Safeway.
Dude, and they're ubiquitous in the South now. It's not just Texas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I have pictures of my nephew standing next to the mascot. So, they're expanding. I mean, it is cool we went, I guess, to the original Buc-ee's, but you're right. I was expecting the whole experience and this and that. I mean, I got beef jerky and stuff, but I feel like nowadays it's become, more acceptable to be like, yeah, I eat food from gas stations.
Looking at 15 to 17 of them. Nice.
Is that it?
Yeah. It's, around here, Houston. Looks like maybe one in the edge of Alabama, or maybe Google might just only be giving me the Texas results. I don't know.
All right.
Nope. We got a couple of them in Alabama. Oh yeah. There's more.
Dude, there's more.
They're filling in, boys. Well, the misinformation continues.
Cobb, how much does it cost to put up a billboard or rent a billboard? What do you think?
Depends on really. Go ahead, Dad.
I was going to say, it depends on the traffic, where you're putting it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would say it really depends on where, but in the middle of nowhere, you can get it. The Wall Drug is famous for having hundreds of billboards, but middle of nowhere, I think you're looking at, under $5,000 a month.
Okay. Well, then maybe it's not that big of expense. I don't know how much billboards here go for between here and LA, but coming into Palm Springs, there's a billboard from Buc-ee's that says, next Buc-ee's 947 miles or whatever it is.
What a hype move.
How that's in unreal. The hell?
Yeah. That's the long game, dude. Yeah, it looks like they got them in North Carolina. They got them in Nashville. This is a Southern institution.
And Matt, the thing is, you heard me say it, but literally they make their own brisket. And then when they open one up, they yell, brisket on the board. And they cut it up in front of you. And then Cobb and I, we got one, their brisket sandwich. You're like, holy shit, this is good. It's restaurant quality and it's at a gas station. They have a jerky bar. I was over there just eating samples of jerky, chicken jerky, bacon jerky, regular beef jerky, any flavor you can think of. I mean,
it's the real deal, especially for a road warrior like Ted or myself. It's Buc-ee's shows up.
Yeah.
Honestly, they do sell cowboy boots at some of them, by the way.
I mean, there's videos of influencers just being like, all right, I'm going to hang out at a Buc-ee's for 24 hours. And then it always ends the same way. My stomach doesn't feel great. Somehow I bought a bunch of merch and a stuffed animal. I mean, I have a buddy that travels a decent amount and goes to a lot of big sporting events. I was at his house just this weekend and I was like, you have what are they? Buc-ee's nuggets or whatever? Buc nuts? And I was like, where'd you get those? And he's like, oh, people just know if they travel, bring some back for me. I'm like, God damn it. Beaver nuggets. That's what they are.
Buc-ee's beaver nuggets. Of course.
I don't even know what they are. I just saw the bag and he's like, yeah, man, people get them for me. I'm like, damn. Okay.
I don't know what they are either. First ingredient is brown sugar. That's all I can make out from here. They do look good.
Looks like a corn puff or like a cheese ball or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We start talking a little bit. We'll take a little break here. We'll come back with the normal stuff, some emails, what's mattening, the Cobb topic, and we've got a bottle update. We're about halfway done.
Popping that champagne. Let's get it.
That champagne voice. All right. We'll be back in a sec. All right, welcome back. As always, thanks to our sponsors, and obviously we'll say it 10 more times before we sign off, but thanks to everybody that's tuned into a episode or every episode, or maybe you're a middle-of-the-ground person. Like that MCTP, I should point out, now it's gone a little more...
Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing, yeah. We got a bucket hat, we got some shades on.
It's a new bucket hat. I just wanted to come out strong for the second half, and if you look... It's from Sherman's, the Jewish deli here in town that I talk about quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Dude, maybe you're a bucket hat guy now.
Matt, I'm not trying to sleep with you, but you do look awesome in that outfit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It kind of works with like the background and just kind of the whole, I don't know, dude, it's definitely a vibe.
Yeah. I actually have quite the bucket hat collection growing now. Like Cowboy yeah. Ted, well, Desert Matt has acquired a small arsenal of bucket hats. There you go, Ted. Put that thing on.
Nice. The hat is on. I'll go grab mine too. Hold on. Oh, that sparkly cowboy hat. Just a second.
I was like, Cobb's got a hatless now.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. I mean, I would imagine living in the desert, being a golfer there, like you're in the heart of bucket hats.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I got one of my first trips here, and I've just been steady adding to it. They're not ironic. They're just my favorite. And I didn't realize Sherman's had these. And last time we went, Tyler was like, do you see that in the case right there? Did you know Sherman sells bucket hats? And I mean, it was the most instantaneous purchase impulse I've ever felt in my life of like, well, that's a done deal.
Yeah. You work for me now.
Cobb, do you rock out that sparkly one? Cowboy
hat? Yeah. Dude, so the thing is, all right. So here's the thing. I do. When I moved down here, everyone was saying like, they were like, oh, you have a hat, cowboy hat? And I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to be a cowboy hat guy. And they were like, don't worry. Like it'll choose you. When the time is right, it'll choose you. And I kind of wrote it off. I blew it off. It's like, nah, whatever. So I go to this private club that closed down. It was called Highbrow Lowbrow. If you want to look it up, it was awesome. And they were throwing this giant, like 400 person Barbie party. They had like an inflatable slide. Everyone is dressed as Barbie and they're like in bikinis and stuff, like running around. There was a whole like a gymnasium sized tent full of foam with a DJ in it. Like it was one of the craziest, if not the craziest parties I've ever been to. And anyway, I'm wandering.
Did I go there with you the one night?
You went to Highbrow Lowbrow, yes, yeah. But it was an off night.
It was still a dope, super cool looking spot, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So this party was rad. My mind was blown. And I'm like wandering through the crowd and like, dude, just the gates of heaven opened up and I saw this hat and I walked over to it. I put it on, fit me perfectly, got like a couple quick reactions from the people I was with. And I turned to the girl and I was like, hey, how much does this thing cost? She was like, you don't want to know. And I was like, okay. And I just hand her my debit card. I go, just run it. And just boom.
Oh,
he does it. And I just walked out of there. And and so ever since then, it's pretty funny because it's really well made. But to describe for people at home, I mean, it's like a pink, iridescent, sparkly cowboy hat. But it's not like those bachelorette ones. Like it's like I think it's like 2000 individually placed crystals. Like this thing is really nice. And so when people first see me, they think, you know, we get endless bachelorette parties down here in Austin of women just, you know, like woo girls from every city in America come here. They wear pink cowboy hats. They have a great time. We actually yeah. love the energy. So people think I'm a woo girl and then they get up closer and they're like, oh damn, bro, where'd you get that? And so I always get like interrogated on it. It brings a lot of attention. So I only wear it when I'm ready to handle the noise. But yeah, it's a great one. I wear it for events pretty regularly.
That's a great way to put it. Matt, I will send you a picture of Cowboy Ted. Cobb, send him a picture of that, Matt will put it out on Twitter tomorrow.
Nice.
Bucket hat, couple cowboys.
Yeah.
Just a couple of cowboys.
Yeah, this is a good lit Zoom right now, dudes.
This is 2020 vibe, man.
This is our year.
It's our year, baby. Look at us. It's our year.
Please, people, use 2020 vibe.
2020 vibe, dude.
I'm going to try to make it work.
I love it.
And it's a vibe. You guys ready for some emails?
Let's hear them.
Video killed the radio star. Good evening to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I was listening to the latest podcast and heard an email that sounded like something I would write. And then quickly remembered, I did write it. With that said, it's funny that you bring up FAO shorts because over the Christmas holidays, I took my toddler to FAO shorts in Manhattan and it was awesome. Picture attached. Cobb, how do you feel about coincidences? I feel very strongly about the idea of synchronicity and, you know, universal energy interactions that we maybe can't perceive. Also, I'm sure Cobb already knows this, but Ted's website is, I do. I'm not going to say it out loud, but yes. Looking forward to the podcast this year. Re-year of the hustle for me. Kelly, the man. And then has an awesome picture of them on the piano at FEO Shorts. Very cool. Nice. Very cute. Thank you, Kelly. So some part of me, I don't know, my spirit just always wishes Kelly was a hot chick. I think because that happens with, me. Like my name's, my first name, you know, is spelled the girl way. And I think people are always just expecting me to be an attractive Irish woman. And then they get me knuckle dragon white guy. All right. Love the subject line. It's our year. Try telling John Stanton and the Mariners that. Goddamn bumps. John Mueller.
That's a good call. The Mariners are, it's tough.
Okay, so this one, I rarely respond to emails, but occasionally I do when people write in. This one just caught me at the right time, and I did. So I'll start with his subject line. It's my year. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
This year, I'm going to lose some things. Primarily, lose about 20 pounds, lose the credit card debt, and lose a couple of car payments. This time next year, boys, I'll be able to take the shirt off the I'll be able to take the shirt off on the beach again and feel comfortable knowing I don't have to make payments every month. Cheers, gents. Jeff from Virginia, originally from Seattle.
Love it.
I responded 6 minutes later. Love it, Jeff. What's the plan? Best. Cobb. Yeah. Just immediately press him. It's like, are we doing this or not, dude?
Yeah, you can always, 20 pounds or not, man. It's always tarps off if the boys say it's tarps off.
Tarps off, baby. I did tarps off at a wedding recently.
Nice.
That's with your boy GD. The plan, it sounds simple, but we'll take a pretty big effort. It's my year. Lose the weight. Need to change the diet, reduce the alcohol consumption, and increase the cardio workouts. Lose the credit card debt. This one's a little easier as we typically do not have debt, but I do want to reduce the amount we spend on travel and other necessities. Lose the car payments. Again, this one is luckily a little easier as we are on the last 6 months for both cars and we have the money to simply pay them off, which we are doing today. It's my year, Jeff. All right, first of all, love that you paid off the car. Debt is awful. Let's drop that credit card debt. Hell yeah. The lose the weight part. Matt, any commentary? Any thoughts on that?
I think that's a pretty good starting list. I'm not the biggest cardio. I mean, if you get those other two right, the exercise, whatever you add on is just an added bonus. But I would say 80% of weight loss is nutrition, and that includes alcohol. So, those are big. And, there's the bro in me is like, dude, you could lift weights instead of cardio or in addition to cardio too. Like that'll just do you a lot of favors overall in terms of how good the weight loss looks and, valuable life skills like strength and the ability to keep strength training is just like, that's just a dividend that just keeps paying out. It's awesome.
Yep. I totally agree. Let's get that weight off, man. Why not? I'm so tempted to set a reminder in my phone for a year from now. Like I'm so tempted to just like to hold them accountable. We'll see. I may do it. But yeah, let's get that weight off. Let's get those credit cards paid. Why not? It's your year, baby. 2025.
Do what you want with
it. Pump the stock. All right. Pump the fucking stock, dude. I don't care anymore.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I think I've given up on the quest of the bottles. I don't like champagne that much. But the cork now has little notes on it, boys.
Nice.
Podcast, 400 episodes. I think I spelled episode wrong. So about right for us.
I'll put Ted it in the getting old, sentimental.
Yeah, I'll put it in the old, I keep a couple things around. I'll put it in the box. I have one box with sentimental items.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well. Beam our satellites down to the desert and see what's back.
Hey, guys.
What's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Check out what's maddening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Check out with What's Matt.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Sherman's hat, bucket hat was a pretty big come up for me. That's a definite highlight, even of the past 2 weeks. Yeah, let's see. Work's been busy. Watched some football past couple weekends. Went for some walks to some various establishments. And yeah, it's just been a busy time of year. But just love walking down to like dinner, or there's a really good gelato place down on El Paseo too that, you know, it's been a little cold by our standards down here.
I was going to say, it's been chilly down there, like unseasonably chilly down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see my breath this morning. That was pretty wild. I don't even know the last time that happened. So, it's been, you know, not making me want gelato as much afterwards, but yeah, just, work's going good. Golf's going really good. I figured some stuff out from that lesson and really do think I could put some good golf together this year and break 80. So I've been going to the range and just trying to stay sharp with that. And yeah, it's all good. This, I'm not even kidding you guys, this bucket hat, I was just gonna tell you about it. I was like, wait a minute, I could just go grab it on the break and put it on. But it was the definite highlight of the past 2 weeks, was like finding out that Sherman's had bucket hats. It was only $20, Cobb. Unlike, I was going to have them run it regardless, you know, but she was like, that'll be $22 after tax or whatever. And I was like, this place really is the best, man. I fucking love Sherman's. Well,
and Sherman's wearing that bucket hat too. When you travel the country, like if people know, they'll know, like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just iconic. I'm really amped on this. Like I said, work's going really well. It's been a lot of fun. I've been hiking with some clients at sunrise, and it's just like
nice.
Tight way to start the day. And so, yeah, it's all good down here. I've been looking forward to 400. This is pretty big, because yeah, that was like a common theme in the very early episodes, was like, we got commitment issues.
Common theme in life.
Yeah.
Right. I know you're in like a off hotbed. Do you care anymore about tennis? Like, I know your mom's a big tennis person.
So I think tennis is, you know, I can appreciate it more now. I work with a lot of tennis players. A lot of people down here are into it. I'm not particularly into it. My mom likes it, but she plays more pickleball when she's down here. And the tournament down here is a pretty big deal. There's a professional tennis tournament that's a, you know, they call it the fifth major. I don't know who they is.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just my local world or like if it's known that way across the country, but it's definitely a pretty big tournament over in Indian Wells. So yeah, it's fun, but I don't, you know, I can appreciate it, but I don't follow it, is how I would talk about pro tennis these days.
All right. So I like a lot of sports. Tennis is not one I've really been into. I did watch the tennis show on Netflix. They mentioned the fifth one. It's kind of like the Players Championship, right? Isn't that like the fifth major in golf, even though it doesn't count?
Yeah.
But last Friday, you know, full disclosure, like, boy hadn't been out in a while, like, had a date, enjoyed myself. I was get back to my neighborhood. It's like midnight. So I was like, you know what? I'll pop into the local. Had a couple beverages, and I got home, and the women's final of the Australian Open was on. And man, like this American girl, I guess, was supposed to win all the time, Madison Best, but she hadn't won a major. Like, I was shocking. I was in a good mood. Then I was like up till like whatever time, 2:30, 3 a.m. And I'm just like, come on. Like, we need this. Like, this is good for the States. Like, when I was pumped, I was like, classic Australian Open. Like, the American won. I was like, this is a good one. I almost sent out a tweet at like 2:30 in the morning. I have one friend that's really into tennis, and I go, you think that would have been good? And he goes, no. He goes, don't send that out. Right? Her name's Madison Keys. So my big thought was I was going to send out, hey, heads up, America. Alicia's out. We got a new set of keys. And when he's like, yeah, he's like, but nobody would have thought you, like, they would have thought you lost your mind. What the fuck are you doing up at 2:30 watching tennis? I was like, yeah, I was just pumped, man. It's a good tweet.
It is for the three people that'll get it.
Right. Oh, all right. Well, you know, episode 400. It's probably about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, doop, doop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Oh, boys, I'm torn. I'm torn between two that I've been thinking about. I think, okay. I know which way I'm going to go. I'm just going to pull the crowd, but I think I got it. All right. So when I was younger, it always used to bug me when people would be like, oh, same difference. I'm like, same difference. Like, what? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So the cop topic this week is, what's a common thing people say that makes no effing sense? Or alternatively, if you guys don't love that one, what's something sexy in theory but hilariously awkward in real life? All right. You want to do that one?
No, it's fine. Sorry, my mind just started racing.
No, that's good. That's what we want, Ted. I would say something sexy in theory but hilarious in real life can be the removal of fishnets.
Yeah. I mean, you know the fishnet joke, right?
No.
There's like three guys on a fishing boat, and first guy falls in and he's like, hey, man, like, I'm caught up in this net. Can somebody help me? And next guy is like, yeah, hang on, Dave. I'll help you. The third guy goes, wait, is it me or is Dave looking kind of sexy?
Nice. Why do you know that?
I saw it on a meme. And look, I have spent at least half an hour once with a buddy sitting on a couch looking across the way at this girl in these fishnets that I've been talking to. And I go, is she attractive? Is it just the fishnets? Like, it's like a secret little cheat code.
Oh, I know. And I feel like women don't even know it. Like, they don't even think about it, you know?
I mean, nothing would be as awkward as watching those people try to drink the end of a keg that was already empty on Solstice in Fremont and then peeling off the paint. Just naked people peeling off body paint. Like, man, you were so cool like an hour ago when you were on that bicycle. Now I just feel bad for you.
Dude, you're right. Like, yeah, So for people who don't know, the Solstice Bike Parade is like a, you know, naked body paint bike event. And you're right. Like, they do look amazing, like, riding. And then, yeah, the removal is pretty sad.
I will say this year,
pretty pathetic. That's the word I was looking for.
I went to an early Husky game, and there was like cheap tickets, but the students weren't back yet. So you got to sit in the student section, and there was a decent amount of students, and like, it looked cute, but this girl was in a full cheerleader outfit. But even I was like, yeah, but you're 22 and not on the team. So I was like, I get you're going for a sexy cheerleader thing, but I don't know that it's really working.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, swinging. I mean, was she attractive? Let's start there.
I'll put it to you this way. I was like, oh, look, a cheerleader. Then I was like, She's just 22 and just fitter.
Oh, they sure are. All right.
What was the first question?
What's a common thing people say that makes no sense?
Yeah, that was one I was going to answer with.
That's fine.
Washington. When they throw the R in Washington, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, a lot of people in Virginia do that.
Huh?
A lot of people in Virginia do that for some reason.
Okay.
And Oregon.
Someone hit me with you're from Washington the other day, like, unironically. Tyler, my girlfriend, says that to annoy me sometimes. Like,
wait, Ted, I'm sorry.
No.
Ted, you seem like you would know.
I mean, I say Washington, but there's definitely people in the D.C. or Virginia area that would say Washington.
No, that's what I'm saying. And Matt, sorry, I totally cut you off. I was not trying to. There's a little lag. Yeah, Ted, I'm wondering, like, is there a pattern to the people who say Washington? Because, like, you spend a lot of time in that area.
I don't know. It's so tough because, like, if I had an accent, it would have been with R's, right? Like, I had a teacher named Miss Guerin, and we called Miss Gern. Or, like,
hi, that's ghetto, dude.
Right? Or, like, my buddy Irk. Like, Irk. Eric.
Yeah.
Then you get up into Baltimore and they got all that Hun shit. Yeah. Hey, Hun, going down to the shore.
I do call Taryn Turn because of that Irk story. I've been calling it up for like 4 years now.
You know what one drives me up a wall of late is, but what about? And it's just like,
yeah, that is a weird, I guess it'd be a preposition maybe. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's just like, but what about if it was this way? It's like, right. Listen, it could be. I'm just dealing with facts right now. Yeah. What has already happened. But what I'm like, all right. But I just feel like you get stuck in the what about. And it's like, well, then we have no answers.
Yeah, seriously. It's like the, but why? Like, yeah. I honestly don't know, because we want fresh water. Okay.
Yeah. And like, to me, at the end of the day, like, and that's a catchphrase, but like, I'm just one of those people, like, we could sit here and bug each other with what ifs. Like, we all know the common answer. Follow the money. Want to know how it ends? Follow the money.
How'd this podcast get to 400 episodes? Follow the money.
Now I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, a woman in full, like, latex, but it's like the middle of the day and she's just walking around, like, huh. I bet at night in a certain club that would be attractive, but I don't know if it's right for this environment.
Leather pants.
Yeah.
In the heat.
Oh, that's got to be like a suction sound coming off.
It can't be good. Jesus. Yeah, well,
I've also seen, I think there's a lot of things that are sexy where you're at the moment that just don't look cool if you leave that environment.
Oh yeah, oh totally. God, any rave attire.
Right, rave stuff. I would say, honestly, some of the stuff people wear to a college football tailgate, it's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, man, that looks dope. But like later, if you're just in a bar, it's like, why are you in jorts?
Yeah, shirtless with overalls.
Right? Is that an American flag bandana on your arm? Like, I was at a Texas game, dude.
Yeah. It worked for the moment.
All right. Well, before I wrap it up, you guys want to say anything besides just thanks to people for 400 episodes?
Matt, you go ahead.
Man. Yeah, thanks is the main thing I'd like to say. This has just been really fun part of my life. You know, we say it all the time, but like, I forget that people are listening, and you know, I just get excited to talk to you two, and then, you know, it makes it even that much doper when I realize that like other people vibe with this and enjoy what we do, because it's just a lot of fun. It's been an awesome part of my life.
Yeah, man, well said.
I would say it's just you know, it's been a beautiful experience to get to come on here and just say what we're really thinking, and to connect with you guys. It's been very therapeutic. I feel like for me, at least in my life right now, there's a lot of, you know, old ideas, ways of living, and sort of dead wood that's burning off, which is painful. But it always, you know, that's what you have to go through to make way for the new. And so what I would say is, you know, my only message would be gratitude. You really can rewire your brain to appreciation. I think Matt is a glowing example of that, but just being grateful for what you've got. It's crazy. You know, if you woke up tomorrow and you only had the things that you were grateful for today, you know, what would you have? And that's a pretty wild way to think about it. I mean, something as simple as your ability to see, or your ability to use your limbs, or to not have, you know, spinal damage, stuff like that. I mean, it's crazy how, you know, how rudimentary you can get with that stuff and have things to appreciate, you know, being able to hear music and things like that. So, you know, we really complicate things and our minds certainly do too. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, gratitude compounds and it's a great way to live. And being angry and upset and frustrated with people or life circumstances is just ultimately it's going to hurt you and grind you down into a pulp. So find something to be grateful for aside from this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matt and Cobb don't know this, but I will tell them. I'll tell everybody, you know, look, we already made it through a pandemic. We do it over Zoom. Like, I don't know what the three of us are going to be doing in 10 years, but as long as we can keep doing it in some form or fashion, we'll keep doing this once a week.
You keep listening. We'll keep putting them out there.
Yeah, right. And then I would also say, you know, just thanks to the friends I've met through it, through the people we met. And then I also just think it's dope that other The Podcast listeners have hooked up, right? I mean, how there, you know, there's been people that have been to our events that have passed on or, you know, bad things have happened. There's been people that great things have happened. It's just, you know, it's kind of a wild ride. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really think about it that much. And then sitting here tonight looking at the boys, everybody's got a cool hat on, just like, you know, it's 2020 vibe. We got 400. Let's get 400 more in.
Let's all go through it together. It is weird. It feels like the listeners are riding along with us as we're all kind of doing life together, you know?
I mean, yeah. We've been like ahead of the curve on so many things, and like the most meta of which is podcasts themselves. Like,
yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
So to be able to like say we're in episode 400, and like there's daily podcasts now. When we started this, I don't even know if there how many daily podcasts there were, but like for a weekly podcast, 400's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's ones we didn't count, and yeah. I forgot we had Cooking with Daryl on.
Yeah,
just wild stuff. We got that stage announcement for A-Ron the night before that second Super Bowl for the Seahawks. And you talk about electricity in the air. I mean, just unbelievable.
That was so cool.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks to everybody. We can't say it enough. I am on it. We are having a The Podcast Party this year. If nothing else, it'll just be me, but we'll get together. I don't know. We'll FaceTime the boys or something. But seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thanks, everybody. And to Aaron and Matt, love you, boys. I hope you know that.
Love you too.
And I love all the listeners.
Yeah, man. For MCTP, for Cobb, and Lee Ted Smith, this is The Podcast. Cheers.